Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, October the 2nd. And welcome to our commentary. Welcome to the month of October. We are literally 5 weeks away, or maybe 4.5 weeks away, from the midterms, and as well as elections here in Texas. And tonight we'll touch a little bit on that debate between Governor Abbott and Mr. O'Rourke. It took place on Friday night. And we're also going to talk about what's happening in Cuba, where you may have seen some major protests going on in Cuba. This is, of course, a continuation of what happened last year. But let me begin with a post that I have over at the American Thinker on Sunday morning. And this is a post about a very important judicial opinion that was written here in the last couple of days by an Obama judge. So that makes it even more interesting, or a judge appointed by President Obama. That makes the decision even more interesting. And it has to do, some of you remember when in Georgia, the state of Georgia, they passed a voting reform law back in 2021, at the beginning of 2021. It was very similar to the one that we had here in Texas and that many other states passed, voting reform, tightening up a little bit on registration and some of the requirements to vote and all of that Well, obviously, the Democrats didn't like it, and Stacey Abrams in Georgia began a campaign, started calling it Jim Crow 2. President Biden did the same thing. Vice President Harris did the same thing. And there was a great campaign against this voting rights or this voting reform law that was passed in Georgia. In fact, it went as far as canceling the Major League All-Star Game. If you remember, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Mr. Manfred, spoke with H.D. Abrams, and she persuaded him to cancel the game and so on because of this voting rights or voting reform law. And it became one of those issues that you would hear about every night over on CNN and MSNBC about vote suppression. That became that was the talking point, vote suppression. Well, what do you know? A judge appointed by President Obama looked at the lawsuit and said, no, there's no evidence of vote suppression. There's no evidence of any wrongdoing here, and basically let the law stand. The challenge to the voting reform law of Georgia went down. It was not accepted. So the Voting Reform Act of Georgia remains in place. That's a big signal because states like Texas and other states have passed similar laws, obviously, now have a judge's opinion to stand behind. But I think that something very interesting happened here. First of all, I think the commissioner of Major League Baseball should resign. I mean, he should resign immediately because he got himself involved in politics, something he should never do. And he got involved in politics as well as Major League Baseball. And the consequence of that was that the game was moved to Denver. And millions of dollars were lost by Atlanta business men and women, many of them African Americans, who lost the opportunity to cash in on the 2021 All-Star Game. So I'm hoping that the commissioner will submit his resignation at the earliest opportunity, because Major League Baseball has no business getting involved in politics. And in this case, it was so wrong the way they did it by denying the All-Star Game to the city of Atlanta. So hopefully he will resign. Now, Stacey Abrams is the other big loser here, because it really shows that everything she's been talking about was a farce. There was no voter suppression. In fact, the numbers of African Americans voting, whether it's in Georgia or anywhere else, is actually up. These reforms have nothing to do with vote suppression. They have to do with integrity, to make sure that people are voting correctly and that there's no fraud or anything like that. So this was a great day for vote integrity. It was a very bad day for Stacey Abrams and the commissioner of baseball. And it was a bad day for those who were calling this Jim Crow. This was not Jim Crow. This was the exact opposite. This was about vote integrity. So this is a huge victory for voting reform. what we saw in Georgia, what we saw in Texas, and what we've seen in other states. So hooray for this judge. Hooray for this judge. As I said, he's an Obama-appointed judge, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. He was honest in how he looked at it and said, no, there's no evidence of any wrongdoing here. Let the law stand as it is. So great victory. Great victory for vote integrity, which is an extremely important point. Well, I mentioned at the beginning that there have been some major protests in Cuba. And this sort of started in the summer of 2021. Cuba right now is in a terrible economic situation. COVID actually hit Cuba very hard. Cuba doesn't have an economy. This is what happens when you let the communists run your country. They destroy everything. So Cuba doesn't have an economy. It was relying excessively on tourism as well as some raw materials, but it can only do so much from that. And what's happened is that there are no jobs, that, you know, the shortage of everything. The power grid, which is the latest problem, is an outdated power grid. I think goes back to the 50s or 60s. So Cuba is just a mess right now. You may have seen or you may have heard that the entire island was without lights for a couple of days. Even as of today, 3 or 4 days later, there are still significant parts of Cuba that do not have light. Now, yes, the hurricane had something to do with it. I'm not going to deny that. But it was way beyond that because they were having blackouts in Cuba before the hurricane. The hurricane just, you know, was the last straw, as they like to say. But they were having problems before that. And, you know, I really hope, this is a great opportunity for the Biden administration to see what reforms or what changes they could bring about in Cuba. Because, I mean, clearly this regime in Cuba is not working. Clearly the people are not happy with it. Now, I'm not suggesting intervention. I'm not talking about that. But you can bring about change with economic policies, with incentives, with some way of at least forcing the Cuban government to open up reforms. But terrible situation in Cuba, as many of you know. I was born there and came here in the 1960s, but of course I still have a lot of emotional attachment to what's going on there. I don't have any direct family in Cuba anymore. Most of my family left, and the ones who stayed, of course, have passed away of age and all of that. But I still have, of course, great emotional attachment and would love to see the Cuban people given a better opportunity at life than what they're getting from this corrupt communist regime. Well, on Friday night, they had a debate here in Texas between Governor Abbott and Mr. O'Rourke. Mr. O'Rourke, of course, the Democrat candidate for governor, Governor Abbott seeking his third term as the Republican governor. The debate itself was at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Now, if you know anything about Texas, you know that nobody talks politics at 7 o'clock on a Friday night in the month of September. Because in Texas, on Friday nights at 7, we're watching high school football. That is a religion here in Texas, watching high school football. So nobody was watching this debate. You know, I tried to find it on TV, and I couldn't. I eventually had to watch it on a website on my iPhone because I just couldn't find it on TV. I had no idea where they were showing the debate. I don't know if anybody carried it. Maybe somebody did, but I just couldn't find it. But anyway, the debate itself, honestly, was 60 minutes. They were three journalists. I thought overall was pretty boring. Now, I thought the questions were fine. No problem with the questions. But the debate itself was pretty boring. I think that nobody is going to be saving copies of this video to share it with people because it was a pretty boring debate, inconsequential debate. I don't think it's going to change anything. As of right now, if you look at the polling data, if you look at the last 30 or 40 polls, that we've taken here in Texas since the beginning of the year. Beto O'Rourke is the governor has an average of 50 and Beto O'Rourke of 42. Those are the numbers. Those are the averages that we've had in, as I say, almost 40 of these polls that have been taken since the beginning of the year. I don't see anything on Friday night, what I saw Friday night, that is going to change that. I just didn't see anything. I thought the governor was effective, but not exactly dynamic. He's not a dynamic man. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's a very effective executive. He is a very well-spoken person, very articulate, but he's a low key kind of guy. He's not a, the kind of guy that turns on people in a very dramatic way, but he's effective. He is very effective and he's very smart. Beto O'Rourke was trying to, you know, he was trying to get a punch in. He was trying to provoke an argument. He was trying to say something sensational. I don't think it really worked. They talked about Uvalde, Texas. They talked about the power grid. They talked about, you know, lots of things, property taxes and so on. But I think the problem with Beto O'Rourke is that he's never been an executive. He's never held any executive position before. And I don't think he understands a lot of these issues or, frankly, has very sensible solutions for any of these issues. For example, on abortion. They asked him about abortion. He said he would like to go back to Roe v. Wade. Well, that's not going to happen. Roe v. Wade was overturned. And the issue is now going to be decided in Texas. What is he going to propose if he's the governor of Texas? He didn't really explain. The other big mistake I think Beto O'Rourke made is that he couldn't, when he was asked about abortion, whether he supported any limits on abortion, meaning 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever the case, he said no. He felt that that was a decision between the doctor and the woman. Well, that's crazy. 95% of the abortions in the United States have nothing to do with a doctor, because 95% of them are just individual decisions made by women who didn't want to have go through a pregnancy. It had nothing to do with the doctor. Doctors didn't get involved in that. Now, there are some times, but very few times, where a doctor gets in because there may be a threat to the mother's life. But that represents probably, if that represents 1% or 2% of the cases, maybe that's too many. There are cases of rape and incest, but altogether, all of those cases, whether a threat to the woman's life or the mother's life or incest or rape, they represent 2, 3% of the cases. The overwhelming majority of abortion cases, and the statistics are there if you want to check them out, are personal, individual decisions that a woman made. Simply, I don't want this baby. I don't want this pregnancy, so I'm going to terminate the pregnancy. That's where most of the abortions are. So to say we're going to go back to Roe v. Wade or we want doctors and women to decide, that's just a lot of nonsense. First of all, we're not going back to Roe v. Wade, and it's going to be decided in Texas, and that's where it's going to be. So I thought on that score, he didn't do a very, very good job. So overall on the debate, I thought both sides really were not that exciting. Again, I think it was an inconsequential debate. It won't do anything. It's not going to move the needle one way or the other, which is good for the governor, because the governor is the one ahead right now. And not good for Beto O'Rourke, because he had to get a punch in, and he really didn't do it at all. So overall, a wash, a debate that will be largely forgotten when this election is over and the governor is reelected. Well, I leave you tonight with a happy birthday greetings. I want to say happy birthday to my friend Rod Carew. And I did know Rod Carew at one time. I had the opportunity to talk to him several times. I'm not a friend in the sense of being a personal friend, but it was just an acquaintance that I knew because I knew a couple of other baseball players who knew him. And Rod Carew is 77 today. And he was one of the greatest hitters of the 20th century. I think he won like 5 or 6 batting titles. He played most of his career with the Minnesota Twins. Just an absolutely great player. 77 today, so happy birthday to Rod Carew, who was actually born in Panama City. He was born in the Panama Canal and, of course, grew up in New York City and went to George Washington High School there in New York City, the same high school that many other baseball players went to, including Henry Kissinger, who went to that high school, I believe, in New York City as well. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.